Bones in a wasteland. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. John chapter 10, verse 10, the words of Jesus, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Those are good promises, aren't they? Amen. Fantastic. These verses will be read this Sunday all across this world as ministers get up and preach this new life that God has promised us. And well, they should be. But I've struggled with this in my past as I've always tried to kind of keep fresh in my heart to my relationship with the Lord and the way and the stages of my relationship with God and trying to put myself in your shoes, so to speak, or in your seat. Of the idea of the great promises of God connecting to the reality of my life. It doesn't seem to pan out sometimes that this new life, new thing, it just makes its way into my life and becomes real. And I've struggled with the disconnect of it. I don't know about you, but I have in my past. I've really struggled with the idea of, oh, I know God has promised me a new life. I know He's promised me this abundant life, this rich, satisfying life, and it's springing up all around me. And that promise is true, amen? Do you believe that promise is true? And I didn't doubt that that promise was true. I just didn't know how that could become real in my life. And so what I want to do in this series is to bridge the gap. I want to bridge the gap. I want you to connect the promises of God to the reality of your life. And it's through this phrase, the kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom bridges the gap between where you're at right now and where God promises to take you. And I know we have a hard understanding about the word kingdom. I honestly have avoided doing a sermon series called The Kingdom or kind of preaching about the kingdom because as soon as I say it, I mean, I understand it's hard for us to grasp. We don't understand what that means. Honestly, I preach about the kingdom all the time, but I'm really going to get open with you and talk about the kingdom a lot during this series, and I want you to hang in with me because it's going to be very important. We'll describe what the kingdom really is and what it all means, but the kingdom of God is very important in Scripture. I want you to understand that. Isn't very important to Jesus Christ. In fact, just the New Testament, the word kingdom or the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is mentioned over 68 times in the New Testament. The very first thing that we hear the message spoken in the New Testament was by John the Baptist, and he came preaching a message of repentance into the kingdom of God. Jesus, his very first message that he preached was a message of repentance that the kingdom of God is here. The Apostle Peter, he preached about the kingdom. The Apostle Paul preached about the kingdom of God. So it's very important to God. It should be very important to us. Amen? So we don't need to avoid this issue or be leery of the issue. And I understand there some might be some kind of apprehension about it because of some things that you've seen in the past, kind of being super spiritual. Or I just don't often grab hold of that. I'm really, my heart is, and what I've been studying and praying about for 2.5 months, is to make this very practical for your life to where when you walk out those doors, you're going to be like, aha. Aha, God is going to make something real in your life, and you're going to be able to bridge the gap from where you're at right now and where God has promised you into 2015, because I don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. And so we've got to understand the way that God has made for us through the idea and the teaching of the kingdom. And if I could summarize this whole kingdom life in one simple phrase, it would be this. It is the abundant life that Jesus promised us. That's what the kingdom is. It is the abundant life that Jesus promised us in John chapter 10, verse 10. A rich, satisfying life. In fact, I want you to look at this verse with me, Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, and it's going to be the launching pad for us today. Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and forceful men lay hold of it. What Jesus is saying is that this revelation of the kingdom of God since John the Baptist came on this earth was began to be preached and talked about, and it began to spread like wildfire. And he says there's a difference between just teaching or hearing about the kingdom. You've got to lay hold of the kingdom. And so what Jesus said is that forceful men lay hold of it. Now the idea of forceful men there is not just somebody that is just mean and just, you know, ornery, but it's the idea of someone who's going to be persistent, that's going to put things in the right order, that's going to seek something first, that's going to sell all other possessions when he finds the treasure hidden in the field. It's that idea of like selling out, of just being in the game and not pulling back and not giving up halfway. It's the idea of just being a tenacity about you, almost like a pit bull mentality. Just like you don't have to be the strongest, but you got to endure. You got to grab hold of it. You got to stay in it. So I need you guys, will you promise me you'll stay in this with me this month? Will you just stay in it with me as we just examine the idea of God's promise for us in this abundant life? I love the way Tony Evans says this idea of persistence and commitment. He said, getting into the kingdom is called conversion, but getting the kingdom into you is called commitment. Isn't that true? I mean, we can accept the grace of Jesus and the forgiveness of the cross, and we can have conversion in our life, but you won't have the abundant life here on this earth. How many of you guys know of examples like that, right? You know, they're saved, but they don't live like it. You know, it's like, sometimes I want to tell them, do you realize you're going to heaven? You know, so it's like, you know, so it there's this idea of commitment in our lives and having a difference in our hearts and really living out this abundant life that God has called us to. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I'm going to do up front to kind of ease you into this, okay? We're going to talk about the kingdom, and in this series, we'll discover the kingdom purpose. God's purpose in the kingdom. The kingdom power, and that's going to be a powerful message, by the way. And we're going to understand the kingdom perception, which will lead to kingdom presence in your life daily. How many of you guys want the kingdom's presence in your life daily? Amen. But this morning, the most important thing that we're going to talk about, the thing that's going to start us off, the thing that really is going to help you go the distance with God in this idea, is kingdom priority. Kingdom priority. It's the idea of putting things back right as they should be. Setting things back in first. And I love talking about this on the very first Sunday of 2015. Giving it to God right at the very beginning. And putting things back in order in our lives. And kingdom priority is essential in your life. But there is an enemy. There is an enemy out to steal the priority of the kingdom in your life. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have an adversary. I don't know if you realize that. I don't have to preach that much, I don't think. You understand you have an adversary that's trying to force you to turn away from the kingdom of God. He is trying to keep you from getting the kingdom of God in your life because he's scared of what will happen if the kingdom of God gets in you. Right? He's scared of it. He's scared of you. He's scared of your purpose. He's scared of God working in you. He understands that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He understands that. And so he is trying his best to keep the kingdom from becoming a reality in your life. And his number one tool is worry. It's worry. The reason we don't seek God like we should is because we're worrying about things. Amen. Thank you, Brother Roy. That is the truth. And anybody that's lived life long enough understands that. The reason that we don't follow through with our New Year's resolutions, the reason that we don't know that we can dedicate our hearts to God and seek after Him, is that we all start off strong, but through life, through the journey of life, the devil loves to throw in the middle of our journey worries to trip us up, to get us off focus, to turn our eyes, even if it's just a little bit away from the truth and the priority of the kingdom of God. So we start worrying about things instead of seeking the kingdom. In fact, Jesus summarized this whole teaching to what I believe is the most important teaching about the kingdom of God on the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 6, he puts it this way in verse 31. He says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers." Or if I can interject, these things dominate people who aren't living in the kingdom. People who don't live in the kingdom worry about all that stuff. Why? Because he goes on to say, because your heavenly Father already knows that you need these things. If you live in the kingdom, you know, hey, the king loves me and he knows and he'll take care of me. I love the next part here. He says, so, and here's the solution for worry. Here's the solution. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you... Do you believe that promise? How do we bridge the gap? How do we start living that way? How do we start seeking God? How do we start making the kingdom a priority in our lives? How do we stop letting worry steal our focus? And worry has been stealing your focus. And listen to me, some of you, worry has been stealing your anointing. Worry has been stealing your purpose. He has come to snatch away the truth of God that God has been planting in your life about the kingdom of God. So you've got to understand what is going on. What's at stake? What's at play here? You see, here's the idea. If you have difficulty living the Christian life, it's because you have the wrong priorities. If this Christian life isn't giving you the abundant life that God has promised you, the peace that passes all understanding, it's simply because your priorities are wrong. Isn't that right? Well, I'm just preaching. I'm enjoying what I'm saying. Let me just say this. Here's the big idea. If your priorities are right, your life will be right. Why don't you say that with me? If my priorities are right, my life will be right. Put things back in its right order. That's the secret of living in the kingdom. It's having priorities in alignment with His kingdom and His will. That's why Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." What is He saying? He's saying, make sure my will is first, and then His kingdom will come. So if you seek first His kingdom, He even promised you all the kingdom things that you need will be given to you. Now let me ask you an honest question. Do you want what you can do for you or what God can do for you? I love this illustration. I've used it many times. I just have to use it again. It's the idea of a father eating chips out of a bag. I don't know about any of you dads, but I do that. I don't get me a plate of chips. I take the whole bag with me. I take the go sit down and watch the game. They're my bag. I'm going to eat them. And then one of my little boys coming up to me and say, "Daddy, I want some chips." I say, "Okay, son." And I reach in the bag to start to get him some chips. But he says, "Oh, no, Daddy, I want to get my chips. I want to get my chips." But I'm persistent with him. I say, "No, son, listen, if you'll let me, I'll give you more than you can get on your own." "Well, no, Daddy, let me get my chips. Well, he's persistent. I don't know if you know my boys. They're persistent. And so he sticks his hands in the bag, and he brings up his little fistful of chips. And I said, look, son, I want to show you. You see the little amount of chips you have in your little bitty hand? And then I stick Daddy's hand in the bag of chips. And I pull it up. And I said, which one is better? And he says, "Oh, Daddy, I want Daddy handful of chips. I want Daddy handful of chips." Now, what do you want about your life? Do you want your handful or Daddy handful? That's right. Amen. That's what God has promised you. He's promised you that type of life, that abundant type of life, overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, and running over if you'll put things back in its right order. As a matter of fact, honestly, guys, you could sum up the problem that most people are having in their lives with one sentence. They fail to put the first things first. I know you may say, that's oversimplifying it, and it's a lot more complex than that. You don't know my story. I understand you, but listen to me. I understand kingdom principles work universal. And if you'll put things first in its proper place again, all these things will start working out in your life. And the reason the devil attacks us so much is he understands this truth. He knows it, and he is after your first priority in your life. He's after it. And he will throw worry or anything he can to get you off focus, even if it's just a little bit. So the kingdom life that we all want to live, the abundant life that God has promised us, comes first from making the kingdom your priority. Say, my priority. Not just the pastors, not just the person sitting on your row. You don't get on somebody's coattails to get into this life. You have to make it personal in your own life. It has to be a priority in your life. So when we seek the kingdom of God, eventually we find the king of the kingdom. Now that's important. Because the kingdom is all about the king. It's all about the king. It's all about King Jesus. Amen? It's all about him. I love, our worship team does a great job, don't they? Man, and look, I don't talk to Kyle much about this. It may astonish you in this. We don't kind of converse. Every once in a while we talk about some of the songs and some of the ideas and things like that. I just tell him a lot of times, pray about it, brother, and God will lead you in the right direction. He is always on target. Man, and how many guys appreciate Kyle and Whitney and what they do, amen? I tell you what, brother, God, I got to obey the Holy Spirit. Stand up. Pastor Larry, Jimmy, Derek, come here. Come here, stand behind him. God's about to release a double portion anointing. Lift up your hands. Right now, in the name of Jesus, to go to this next level, the Lord has ordained you to be a leader, to lead us into the deeper parts of His heart. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm not asking that you increase His own ability or increase His own strength, but right now, in the name of Jesus, the fire of God, give Him what He cannot give Himself. Right now, in Jesus' name, release it, the double portion, right now. More, 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 more. Increase, 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 increase. Yes, yes, yes. My goodness, Spirit of God is so strong right now. More, more, increase, 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 increase. Church, pray. This is going to be for your own good because we're about to move into a new level of worship right now. Come on, pray. Pray right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The keys to the kingdom right now for worship. Right now. More. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wisdom. Revelation. Revelation right now. Right now. Lord, for this home, for Whitney, Lord, the precious children, right now, release it. Release it right now in Jesus' name. Yes, yes, the enemy has tried to throw worry even at you, my son. But fear not. Fear not. Fear not. You are hidden in the palm of my hand. You are underneath the shadow of my wings, says the Lord. The Lord says there is warfare when you worship. Yes, 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 yes. Play the string instrument. Play the song of God. Watch strongholds crumble all around you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Yes, the way has been made, declares the Lord. Step through. Step through. Step through. The multitude will follow you. Yes, 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 yes. You have a breaker anointing. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God is doing something, church. God is doing something, church. More. Increase it. My goodness. More, 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 God. More, more, more. There are more, more. There's going to be people healed in the middle of worship service. There's going to be people delivered right now in the middle of worship. It's going to start right now. God says it will not delay any longer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. The enemy's tried to discourage you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. You have favor with God and man. Yes, yes, yes. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Time to enter into the next level. Now, 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 now. Come on, church. Give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Let me just honor Holy Spirit for a second. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. What's keeping you from stepping into the next level that God has for you? See, this isn't a light thing. This is very serious, this idea of kingdom. The devil understands that. In fact, there is three kingdoms. If I can just tell you just quickly. The first one is what we call the natural kingdom. And really, there's not much to it. I know we put much, we talk much about it, but there's not much to it. There's not much to it. It's what we see, it's what we live in, the governments and the systems, it's what we pay taxes in. It's all about that. It's that type of kingdom. And we have to live here as we're on this earth, we have to live in this natural kingdom. But there's two more real kingdoms than the natural kingdom. It's the supernatural kingdoms. It's first, listen to me, it's the kingdom of darkness. It's the kingdom of darkness that has a prince. Satan himself has come to deceive many, to get you off focus. And he isn't playing games. It's principalities and powers and rulers, and their number one objective is to keep you from putting first things first as children of God. It's to keep you from experiencing the next level in your life. He understands that he has no authority except that he can strip you of your authority and just deceive you. Amen? So there's the kingdom of darkness. But listen to me, church, there's the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, listen to me, doesn't have a prince. It has a king.
Amen.
Amen. It has the king of all kings. And it has the Lord of all lords. The kingdom is all centered around King Jesus. And all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to our king. Amen.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Now listen, this is what I love about our king. He wants us to be co-heirs with him. He wants us to rule and reign with him. We don't deserve it. I don't understand that. It's called grace. It doesn't make sense to me. But my king wants it. So who am I to tell him he can't give it to me? He wants me to live in kingdom authority, kingdom purpose, to have this abundant life that God has called me to. Now listen to me. I want you to understand this. We are called royal priests. In fact, the scripture even calls us sons of God. That sons and daughters of God. Amen. That's a universal term, sons of God. Jesus understands and he wants us to be a part of his family. We're his brothers and sisters. He is our big brother. There's no other above him. But he wants us to rule and reign with him. Now listen, the devil only has authority because of sin. That's why it's important to deal with it. It's important to deal with it. But listen to me. In the kingdom of God, we all have authority not because of sin or even our righteous works. We have authority because of sonship. And who gives you sonship? Who makes you part of his family? God does. You're adopted in through the blood of Jesus. You don't step in on your own. No one climbs in over the fence into this kingdom. Amen? Is coming in through the grace and the cross of Jesus Christ. He gives us sonship. Listen to me. You can stop sinning, but you can never stop being a son. Can you let that sink in for a second? Isn't that good? I'm glad I can stop sinning. But I'm also glad that I'm secure in my identity through Jesus Christ. Amen? And I don't know, I don't care what the devil tells me, I don't stop being a son. I know my children may act like fools sometimes, but they don't stop being my son. Right? Boy, that's good. You need to grab hold of that, because that will get you in the kingdom and you'll start enjoying life again. God wants you to stop sinning, but he never wants you to stop being his son or daughter. He wants you to stay firm and committed in his heart. And nothing, listen, nothing, say nothing, can separate us from the love of God. My goodness, I feel the anointing of God so strong right now. So here's the truth. We need to talk about this for just a second. This idea of seeking. And to help us understand it, I'm going to expand it and talk about each letter for just a second. And Jesus is teaching about the kingdom. I encourage you to go home and read it. Read your Bibles. It's the manual on how to live in the kingdom. Jesus teaches about the kingdom in several little short parables. If you like little short stories, it's all full of Matthew chapter 13. He teaches about the kingdom, and he talks about each and every one of these. Seeking. First, you've got to search. It's a searching. It's like seeking after treasure, seeking after the pearl of great price. It's searching after it. Is it worth enough to be searching for it? That's the question. Are you searching for it? Do you know that there's something more? There's got to be something more. There's an emptiness there. I've got to have a feeling in my life. There's more. It comes with searching, and I want to stir that up. It's not just searching, but it's exploring. It's when you find it, exploring, digging around. So many times people come to church, but they don't dig when they're here. You got to dig in this a little bit. Get your hands dirty. Come on, somebody. I mean, let some sweat come out of this. search and explore in prayer. I mean, some of the biggest revelations in my life hasn't come from DVDs or teachings or songs. Those are great. It comes from those times of travailing in prayer, exploring the depths of my heart. God only knows the depths of my heart, and He explores in me, and I explore the deep cries out the deep. Come on, somebody. It's a searching. It's an exploring. And listen to me, eventually, and this is what God, Jesus wants you to lead you to, it's an encountering with Him. He doesn't just consistently play hide and seek. His big idea is that you find Him, right? He wants you to encounter His presence. I want you to encounter God's presence this morning. I want you to encounter God because it will radically change your life. So it is seeking, it is searching, it is exploring, it's encountering. But listen to me, it's also kissing. I say, wait a minute. I was with you until you said that. Kissing? You date somebody long enough, you come on somebody. You're going to kiss them. I remember the first kiss that God gave me. I remember it well. I'd been searching. I'd been exploring. I'd been encountering a little bit. But I remember that day to where heaven came down and kissed me. Never the same. Anybody remember their first kiss? I mean, it was just different then. It's like you walked around. Come on, if you know, natural relationships, you know, when you win that person, they let you kiss them, at least for guys with girls. Girls don't give away that kiss. The guy has to earn it. Come on, somebody. Because when you do that, man, something just happens. And you just walk around the next day like this. But I remember the day that God kissed me. Something was different. It's like the devil was still there. He was still trying to throw worry at me, but I was like, whatever. God kissed me. You trying to tell me I'm not a son of God? Do you see this on my... That's a mark of a kiss right there. God kissed me. But it wasn't just God kissing me. It was this idea of even me encountering God with a kiss. And that's what I want us to get about as we journey with God in the next 21 days, starting today. It's through prayer and fasting for us to kiss God. Now, hold on for a second. I'll explain that, but you're getting hung up on this whole prayer and fasting thing. Because I want... Can I just teach you for just a couple of minutes? Amen. Are you with me? First of all, it's so important, the idea of getting your priorities right in prayer and fasting, because Jesus modeled it. Before He even started His ministry, what did Jesus do? He went into the desert and He was tempted by the devil, but primarily He prayed and He fasted. Many times in throughout Jesus' ministry, before He even ministered to the crowds, or even after He ministering to the crowds, what would He do? He'd go away to a solitary place and he would pray, and even he would fast. Jesus modeled it in our lives. Why? Because it's prayer and fasting together is the best way to focus and connect with the kingdom and make it priority in your life. Because a focused life is a faithful life. Right? Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 17. This interesting story happens here. Let me just set it up quickly. I don't have time to read the backstory. There's an issue there. Someone needed to be delivered of a demon, and they brought him to his disciples, and the disciples could not cast this demon out. And I love what happens here, because the disciples eventually come back to Jesus and say, okay, it didn't work. Why didn't it work? In Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 through 21, it says, the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for certainly I say to you, if you had the faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by, say it with me, prayer and fasting. It's not the work, it's the priority. I want you to focus on that. It's like, well, I just need to pray and fast. No, you need to get priority back in your life, and the tool to do it with is prayer and fasting. He was telling his disciples, guys, you're just off just a little bit. And if you don't have true north in your life, you don't have the impossible type, miracle-working prayer and power that God has called you to do. In fact, he explains this in a couple of verses ahead in verse 17. He said, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you?" He was kind of acting like the dad is like, "Guys, get your act together." He was kind of like the coach saying, "Guys, you're not putting things right in this back order. How long do I have to be with you?" Now look at the words that he describes the people there and the reason they did it, they didn't experience the kingdom that day. Look at the words. Faithless and corrupt. Faithless and corrupt. Unbelief and perversion. Other parts of the scripture tell us. Unbelief and perversion. Now listen to me. Unbelief is dealt with in prayer. In prayer. If you get around God long enough, your faith will increase. You need to pray. But how do we deal with this corruption? How do we deal with this perversion? Perversion is just things that get in our life that just perverts, or it just takes out the purity of our life. Well, we need to not just get with God, we need to get away from the world. Are you hearing me? It's not just going to God in prayer, but it's leaving things that corrupt our life. You have things that are corrupting your kingdom life. It's corrupting it. It's degrading it. It's tearing it down. So fasting deals with the corruption. Come on, somebody. Fasting deals with the corruption. Let me just explain this to you. You have three parts. You have three parts of you. You have your flesh, what people can see. You have your souls, your mind, your intellect, your emotions, your passions. And you have your spirit that connects with God, that's in tune with God if you're saved. Now listen to me. When you pray, your spirit gets connected with God. Belief starts happening. But you can have the strongest faith in this room, but if you're corrupted, it's not going to do any good. Are you hearing me? So we talk about prayer all the time, but we don't teach people how to deal with the corruption in their life. You deal with the corruption by addressing the two other parts of you, your flesh and your soul. Your flesh and your soul is dealt with, and the corruption of it is dealt with fasting. This will give you a good understanding of what you should fast this 21 days, by the way. If your life is caught up in your flesh, it's food, I just really like clothes. It's this fleshly desires, your hungers and your thirsts in your life. And it's taking you away from God. It's corrupting you. You understand it's out of balance. Well, you need to fast some fleshly things like food. Like don't fast clothes, wear clothes, but maybe you shouldn't keep shopping for clothes. Amen? Are you following me? So you need to fast something that deals with the flesh. But if your issue is your soul, and you worry about what people think about you, and you're constantly on Facebook checking in on things and doing this, and your soul is all engaged, and you're all just, maybe you constantly check the news, or you read those awful blogs on Facebook, and it worries you constantly, guess what you need to fast? Soul issues, Facebook, get away from those people who are bringing you down. Are you following me? Isn't this practical? So get away from the things that are corrupt in your faith and get with God, and God starts dealing with it. And God says, when you do this, you'll get lined up right with the kingdom of God, and nothing, say nothing, will be impossible to you. Isn't that right? So we got to seek. We got to seek. I want to give you this verse. I'm going way too long this morning, but God's just moving. Is that okay? Boy, I didn't hear an enthusiastic amen right there.
Amen.
All right, five more minutes. Can I have five more minutes? I'm going to make this quick. I'm going to give you the verse that God gave me last week. It's always been a custom of mine and Jennifer's life is that we take this the 2 days right after Christmas time and things like that, get away to pray about our lives, to focus our lives, to get ready for this next year. And I pray about the vision of this church. And I ask God for a verse. I say, God, give me a verse to lead us into this 21 days of prayer. Lead us into the things that you have for me. So would you like to hear the promise that God spoke?
Amen.
Well, if I didn't have a strong enough amen right there, I was just going to move on. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 through 4. Listen to what God says to us at Living Water and to you. Enlarge your house. Build an addition. Spread out your home. And spare no expense. For you will soon be bursting at the seams. Maybe that just makes me happy. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities. Oh boy, that's going to be good right there. Fear not, You will no longer live in shame. Don't be afraid. There is no more disgrace for you. Whew. You will no longer remember the shame of your youth and the sorrows of your widowhood. Amen. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord praise. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm praying about these next 21 days. It's going to happen, guys. But how do we get there? How do we experience that? You've got to seek. You've got to seek. And you do it ultimately with the kissing part. You remember the kissing as I talked to you about? Jesus dealt with it with this woman at the well. In John chapter 4, he says in verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father is seeking," say seeking, "such to worship Him." It's not just us seeking. God is seeking. And James puts it this way. If you draw near to God, God will draw near to you. God is searching. God is looking for people who get the priorities right and then take the next step and kiss Him. Now what is that? You might say, well, worship, kissing, you're losing me here. It's not even the same subject. Yes, it is. It's all throughout Scripture. Let me show you. This Greek word here for worship, I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It damaged the Greek language and mess you all up. But I want you to understand what it says. It literally means, the true definition is to kiss like a dog would his master's hand. You know what I'm talking about. Now, I got a dog, and man, he loves me. He does. He jumps all up on me. That's an 85-pound lab mix. And I'm sitting in my chair, and he won't let me just pet him on the floor. He has to get up in my lap, sitting on me. And he will kiss on me and kiss all around me. What's he doing? He's worshiping. He's worshiping. You see, I was like, oh, worshiping. I've messed you up. I know you're like, oh, you've messed me up now, Pastor. Well, listen, worship is not singing. That's a way to worship. Right? Worship is not singing. That's a way to worship. Worship is seeking. Worship is seeking, not singing. It's seeking God with all of your heart. And it's when you find Him, it's loving on Him. loving on Him. And when you do that, He kisses you back. And then things are different. And the reason why your life is not in the right order is because you've never experienced heaven's kiss. Because if you do, if you really do, and I want you to this next 21 days, you'll never live back the way you used to live. Things will stay in the right order. If you'll do that, you got to make it a priority. You got to make it a priority. Say priority. You got to make it a priority. Why a priority? Because what you do first, you worship. What you do first, you worship. Let me say it one more time. What you do first, you worship. And let me go a step further. What you worship is your God. Right? So make it a priority. Say, make it a priority. Number two, make it personal. You've got to make this personal. You've got to make this personal. It can't just be corporate. It has to be personal for you. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, "Now when He was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, He answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, "See, here it is," or "See, there it is." For indeed, the kingdom of God is where? Within you." He wants it to be personal. It's personal within you. Say, make it personal. And finally, seeking is all about His presence. It's all about His presence. I know you want the abundant life, but listen to me. That's a secondary reward. The first reward is Him. Right? Do I have to preach that? Do you know that? Do you believe that? Because you won't have the faith to endure this process if that's not right. The first reward is Him. He is the treasure in the field. And the abundant life comes. Paul puts it this way, and if I thought anybody had reached it to where like, okay, Paul has it, he doesn't need to seek anymore, he's there. Paul says this, I love how the Amplified Version puts Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Paul's words, yes, furthermore, I count everything, say everything, as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving, recognizing, and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything and consider it all the more to be rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may win, gain Christ, the Anointed One. You hear His heart? You say, Paul, you got it. Man, you don't need any more. Man, look at all these ministries you're doing. God's using you. You don't need to. He says, No, that's not the real treasure. That's not it. You got the abundant life. God is just using you. You're healing people. I mean, even cloths taken off of you and laid on other people is healing them. Don't you think you can pull it back a little bit? No. It's Him, and to kiss Him and to feel His kiss back. That's the most. And look, he tells us everything is rubbish compared to that. Church, if we want this abundant life that God has called us into, you got to learn how to kiss the King. In fact, if I was going to title this sermon this morning, that's what it would have been. Learning how to kiss the King. And when you do that, oh, everything else falls into place. That's why we're having 21 days of prayer. If you'll join in with me, if you'll fast and pray with me, whatever God leads you to, come out tonight. We'll do this together. Guys, we'll get in the presence of God and we'll learn how to kiss the King and let Him kiss us back in our lives, and things will be different. Do you want the abundant life that God has promised you? Take the first step and seek first the kingdom of God and learn how to kiss the King. Will you stand on your feet with me? What if you just did that this year? This could be the most important message I preach all year. That doesn't mean you don't come back to church the rest of the year, by the way. But what if nothing else, you just put God in first again and you sought Him with all of your heart, soul, and strength. And you just